Church, it's good to be with you this morning. I was enjoying my morning coffee this morning and started getting some texts, and I started going through my mind. I knew last night when I went to bed I was going to be preaching somewhere this morning, but I thought it was at the church I was going to be visiting. But Brother Jason texted me this morning about an hour before I needed to start getting ready and asked me to fill in this morning. And then I knew why the Lord put that on my heart, what he did. And it's a blessing to be here with you this morning. I was telling Brother Nathan, I said, you must think I'm going to be long-winded. It's only 10 after. That means I need a 50-minute message. But maybe we'll get out of here a little bit early and beat the Sunday traffic getting out on 105 out there. Our text this morning that we're going to be looking at is in the book of Jude. If you would turn there with me. The book of Jude this morning. As I was studying, the Lord showed me some stuff in this book, in this scripture, that I believe would be a help. I know it helped me, and I hope to be a help for you this morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. Thankful for having me up here. Just pray for me today that the Lord would give me what is in need today. I'm going to just read the first couple verses here in Jude, and then I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll bring what the Lord's given me for this morning. In Jude chapter number 1, Jude the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, he says, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, he writes, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Let's pray. Father, we sure do love you. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. Father, I just need your help this morning, Lord. I pray that you would just get my flesh out of the way. Father, I pray through the Holy Spirit that you so blessed us with that are saved. Lord, that you just feed me this morning. Give me your words. And Lord, let it be a help to your people this morning. And Father, we just sure do love you. And all these things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
As I started looking and reading the one chapter that Jude had penned for us here, I realized that as he was speaking to the church, that he gave them instruction to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, as I was looking at this, I saw that in Jude's writing and his instruction to those who would receive this letter, that he was kind of putting out a warning to them of some things that could be happening. And I fully believe that Christians, as we walk out in this world, we can have things that would pull us in different directions other than God's way. And as Jude's writing to us here, he gives them instruction. He tells them to earnestly contend for this faith. Now, when I looked it up, and you've heard me say many times, I'd like to look up things to see what they mean, make sure everything's in context and going where it needs to be. To contend for the faith, I started thinking about as I studied this morning, John Mark came to my mind. Because as he is with the wrestlers there at ASU, that word contend, it comes from an athletic word, just from the wrestling mat is where it comes from. To earnestly contend means to do something eagerly with a real desire. And Jude encourages here and writes to us that we should earnestly contend for that faith in Jesus Christ. That we should constantly be mindful of the salvation of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and what he can do through us and what he's going to do for us in the future. But we wrestle constantly whenever we have this faith in Jesus Christ, and we're in church just a little bit, and we study for just a little bit in the mornings or the evenings in the Word of God, a lot of times we're just out in the world, and we have influences that pull us in different directions. Things that we hear, things that people believe in, their opinions and things. And it's just human thought to ponder these things and to think about them. But Jude tells us here to earnestly contend for the faith. Jude warns us of what I think about are influencers in our lives. I mean, constantly, as we look around, and not just in, I'm not just talking about Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, but as I go to different churches, and Ms. Sharon goes with me, and we visit different churches, we see the dwindling numbers in the churches. Something's happened with those that have had the faith to bring them out of church. I believe there have been certain people and things that have influenced them that have drawn them away. Now, as Jude's writing here, he's getting into an area of the scripture, and I'm just going to, with the Lord's help, footnote the book of Jude through the preaching this morning. But as Jude warns the church, he's telling them that we know that through the flesh that we are going to sin. Okay, there's no doubt about that. We are going to sin at some point in time or another. We're just human. We're in the flesh. It happens. But he warns these about dwelling in sin. There's a difference. There's a difference between just messing up and saying, Lord, that was not right. Please forgive me for what I just did. And then there is the sin, dwelling in sin, where you do it over and over and over and over again. You know what's wrong, but you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. Now, within the church, we know that when we sin, that God forgives if we ask Him to forgive us. We know that our brethren and sisters will forgive us if we ask them to forgive us. But there is times when people will say, with people that dwell in sin, don't worry, God will cover that up. But there's going to be, with that dwelling in sin, even if we ask for forgiveness and get forgiven, if we keep dwelling in that sin, there's going to be a separation between us and the Heavenly Father, our relationship with that. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Whenever we do, those that would dwell in sin, Paul put it like this. In Romans 6, 1 and 2, he said, what shall we say then? Because Jude's writing this to save believers, to those that have already been saved, accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And can I say this? If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want guidance in your life, God's guidance, you must be born again. You must be saved to get God's guidance throughout your life for what He wants you to do with your life for Him. But as we get into what Jude has given to us today, when we dwell in sin, that hinders our relationship with our Heavenly Father. There's separation in there that He can't help us the way that He wants us to. He can't guide and direct us the way that He wants us to with our lives each and every day. I know that there's a lot of you out here that have children. Now, my wife and I don't have children per se of our own blood, but we do have a lot of young people that we deal with on a regular basis. And I want to help those that, there's many out there that think that just salvation in itself is just enough. It's done. I'm getting into heaven. I'm not going to worry about anything else. But I want you to know that our Heavenly Father, He wants to have a relationship with each one of us, and it's personal. And I'll get to this again here in just a minute. But I think about this with everything that goes on every single day, that the things that we should do should please the Lord, and that way He finds favor in us, with us, and can guide and direct us each and every day through what He wants us to do, how He wants us to do things, and so on, to do things that please Him. We need to do things daily, looking to him to please him. But for those that are saved and think that everything is going to be fine because I'm saved, God's not going to, there's no problem with my sin, I'm saved, I believe in Jesus Christ, everything's under the carpet, not to be seen. But Paul said it like this in Romans 6, 1 and 2. He said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God's grace is covered our sin, our slip-ups. But it's not, as some people would say, a license to sin freely, to dwell in that sin. Paul says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He tells us that we should look to the Lord, not dwell in the sin. We're going to mess up. There's no doubt about that occasionally. But to dwell in that and do it over and over and over again, it's not of God. He can't help us if we do that and dwell in that. Now, Satan knows that he can't destroy the church from the outside. So what he does is he slips in and creeps in through different types of sin within and will hinder the growth of a church that way. Now, these people that we come in contact with every day, like I said before, I call them the influencers. They can hinder our growth in Christ. I'm not saying that people are of the devil, but what I am saying is that sin can enter in through influential people in our lives. The people that we spend our time with, the people that we're around each and every day, we have to be careful. Jude says, contend for the faith. It's a wrestling match between the spirit and the flesh within us. There's a wrestling match that goes on in there because, well, we live with the flesh each and every day. It's our emotional side, and that's kind of a hindrance to us. But with this, contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. Wrestle for that. Wrestle against your flesh. Whenever I think about this wrestling, and I brought to my mind John Mark this morning, wrestlers just don't go out there and do good, okay? If you're going to wrestle and you're going to accomplish, you have to be trained up. You have to be strong. The way that we do that is through God's Word. We do it through Sunday school. We do it through the preaching services on Sunday. We do it on Wednesday night. We get in His Word. We pray constantly without ceasing. We do this every day to strengthen ourselves that we can win the battle, to grow spiritually and not grow in the flesh, not grow in the worldly things. But sin can influence a Christian from people that we're in contact with every day. As Jude goes down, it's written in here, he gives some examples of the people's sin that had crept in that he advises us of and reminds us of. He says, I will therefore put you in remembrance. He says, though ye even once knew this. Because as we see people falling away from the faith, we see people falling out of church, and they've almost let the world win and the flesh win without contending for the faith. If they would contend for the faith and get stronger in their faith, in God's Word, in prayer, the outside influences wouldn't affect the way that they do and grab a hold on people. But Jude writes, he says, I therefore put you in remembrance. He says, you once knew this. And then he goes on and he lists some things here that I thought was interesting. I saw first the sin of disbelief in verse number 5 as having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not, wandered around for years and years and years because they would not believe that God would do what he said he would do. After God brought them and saved them and fed them, did all this for them, they just fell away. There's the sin of disbelief. There's also, in verse 6, the sin of pride. One of the things that that personally I struggle with a lot. I did it. Okay, I could do this. That looks good. Well, thanks. I did it myself. You know, I fixed this. It's pridefulness within us that we have. But there's the sin of pride in verse 6. The angels with kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, half reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Thought they could do it better than what God could do. The sin of pride. There's the, in verse number 7, just the sin of sexual immorality. Okay? Now, I'm not going to dwell deep into that, but we could pretty much figure that one out just from the way it was described there. Then in verse 8 was the sin of disobedience. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despising dominion, and speak evil of all dignities. The Bible tells us to obey those that have rule over us and submit ourselves. But those that are disobedient, not only to God's word, but to those that have rule over us, it's not a good testimony. It does not look well in the eyes of a Christian to not obey those that have rule over us. And I know there's certain things that we stand for, that we stand firm on as Christians. I'm not talking about that. But I'm just talking about our daily walk, each day, our testimony. Now, in verse 10, it gives us those that walk after the flesh naturally as brute beasts. He says, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts and those things, they corrupt themselves. They're not looking to the things of God, but they're looking to the things of the world. They're looking to the things that satisfy the emotional side of us, the fleshly side of us. Those who walk after the flesh as natural brute beasts know not the things of God, but do things to satisfy their just emotions. They're filthy dreamers, defiling their own selves with things that God wants no part of. They walk in the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. These people are easy to spot, these influencers that I call them. They're easy to spot if you know what you're looking for. Now, in verse 12, it kind of helps us to understand what we can see if we look. Verse 12 says, they come together only to satisfy themselves. When I thought about this, it reminded me of, I wonder how many people, and I don't want to see a show of hands, but I mean, I'm not just talking about in this church, but churches in general within the world, how many people come to church just because they think it's the right thing to do versus the people that come to church to get fed and to worship and to fellowship with God's people? When you think about it, you know those that might do the first, but it's a blessing to those that come for the second, to come get fed from God's word. Now, I'm no professional and I'm no great speaker, but Sunday school is wonderful. Church is wonderful. The pastor brings wonderful messages. The fellowship and just the encouragement from our brothers and sisters is a wonderful thing to feed off of. These people that, these influencers that will pull us away from God, they come together in verse 12, it shows, only to satisfy themselves. That says that they're clouds without water. They might be pretty to look at, like the big fluffy clouds, but that's about it. They don't have any, as we look at this scripture in the context, the clouds are to bring rain to, and we had a lot last week. It was wonderful. If you put out fertilizer like me last week on the grass, hang on. Ours turned like three different shades of dark green just like overnight. But that's what the rain does. That's what good Christians do. They feed one another. They bring things that are needed to the brethren and sisters. But it says that these influencers that are don't have anything to do with God. They're like clouds without water. They're kind of useless. They're trees, as it says in verse number 12, they're trees which produce no good fruit. Now, I know we're not supposed to judge people, but the Bible does tell us that every man is known by their fruit, what they show in their lives outside the doors of church, the things that they do, the way that they speak, the way that they act, or the attitude they carry each and every day with them. That's going to be our fruit. But the worldly influencers, they don't have any good fruit that's attached to them. Verse 13 talks about raging waves of the sea foaming out their own shame. Today it's like there is no shame. Everything goes. It blows my mind, the things that we see nowadays. But when you look at where we are in church and look at everything else that's going on outside today, we realize that a lot of people are getting fed from the world and not from the things of God. But the raging sea foaming out the waves, loud, much to be seen, powerful, foaming out shame, the sin in their lives, it's coming out. Verse 13 says, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. See that there's a few times that ungodly is mentioned in that verse. Those who walk in darkness and not in the light. Now, there's a judgment that's coming for all of those ungodly that don't have the spirit, the separation of guidance. Hebrews 12:1 says this, that we should lay aside every sin and every weight that doth easily beset us. The things that hold us back in growing in Christ, growing in the things of the Lord, growing spiritually, need to be put off. We do that by praying more, coming to Sunday school, going to church, getting in the Word of God more. Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. This that holds back our Christian growth, lay aside and contend for the faith. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. As our writer goes on, he says, but beloved, build up yourselves on the most high faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God. It's a personal thing that we have that relationship with our Lord and Savior. It's a personal thing. Brother Nathan's got his own personal relationship with our Heavenly Father. Sister Mildred's got her own relationship with the Heavenly Father, with our Heavenly Father. I've got my own personal relationship. My wife's got her personal relationship with her Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. We've all got our own personal relationship. Build up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. It's a personal thing to keep yourself. Set aside that sin that doth easily beset us, that holds us back. Whenever I was looking at this morning, a verse came to my mind that's over in 1 Thessalonians, and in verse 5, it starts down in about verse number 16, when we're keeping ourselves and trying to have that personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this. It just says, pray without ceasing. We know that praying means to ask. What I've heard a lot this morning before the preaching time about our minds,
our thoughts. And whenever I thought about this, it just brought to my attention where our minds are. I realized that it was said before, even this morning, that Satan is working in minds of a lot of people. And this is true. He's working overtime right now to try to destroy the church, destroy Christians, to have them do things that don't honor our Heavenly Father. But I believe to get our minds where they need to be with the Lord, this is a good way to do that. Where our head is every single day. We've got influencers outside of church that can pull us away, that can try to voice their opinions on us and change our thoughts and our beliefs. But whenever I thought about this, to get our heads in the right place, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, rejoice evermore, number one. I like that because I'm thankful I'm saved. And if you're saved, you are too. We look around us and we just rejoice that, and I do in prayer every morning, I thank the Lord just for loving us enough to do what he did that we might be saved. We should rejoice evermore knowing that it's a better place that we're going to go to when this is all over with. But in verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Just to ask of the Lord. Now, throughout your day, and here's the part that I struggle with when I was talking about the pride that I have that I need to get rid of and give the Lord more glory and more attention to get my mind off of me and off the things of the world, pray without ceasing. I mean, just for little things, Lord, just I can't tell you the number of times since I've tried to, and this comes from just personal experience with me here in the past year or two. It may have had something to do with all the surgery and the near-death experience and all that. I don't know for sure, but praying without ceasing, getting in touch with the Lord on a daily basis to get our minds in the right spot. I mean, whenever you do things, just ask the Lord for his help. Before you take on a project, Lord, just help me with this that I don't mess it up. You know, guys, we have our honey-do list. Lord, just help me do this because I really don't know how to do it. Lord, just help me with this. Lord, help me find this. Help me clean this. Help me get my day organized the way that you would have me to organize the day. Lord, prioritize my day for me. Put on my heart what I need to take care of and put off my heart what can be put off till another day. Pray without ceasing and constantly, constantly, constantly ask things from the Lord. Now, is he going to answer all of them? I'm not the Lord, but I know he likes to be part of our lives each and every day. He wants to be part of everything that we do each and every day, that we can pray without ceasing. I've always thought whenever I first became a Christian, whenever I see this, that you know, we're down on our knees praying, but it's just, here's what it is, to get our head to where the influencers don't influence us, that are trying to pull us away into the world. Constant communication. That's all it is. We want to be with our friends. Our best friend is our Heavenly Father. He wants to help us, and he can help us in ways that nobody else can, and help us for the benefit of him and for us. If we just constantly communicate, just constantly ask for things each and every day, it gets our head in the right spot daily for what we need. Verse number 18 of 1 Thessalonians says, in everything, give thanks. And it even goes on and says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, since all of my mess happened a couple of years ago with the surgeries and things like that, I have had a new respect for things that I can do each and every day that I couldn't do when I was in recovery. When you can't move, when you don't have energy to do things, and you're totally reliant on somebody else, when you get that
back, you don't take it for granted. And what I'm saying is this. I know they probably get tired of in the prayer room in the morning back here when I'm able to be with them. I always thank the Lord. I say, I'm just thankful for the health and the strength and the mind that God's given me just to be here today. In everything, give thanks. Whenever I'm able to do something, just step up on a step in the shop and reach up and grab a hold of the top shelf and pull myself up, I was like, there's got to be a better way. And I'm like, Lord, thank you for the strength to do this. I mean, give thanks to the Lord for everything that you do. Every meal that comes together, Lord, thank you for this. You know, when you get to get something accomplished, a task at home, Lord, thank you for this. When things go right at work, Lord, thank you for this. Youngins, when you pass a test, pray for it first. And then afterwards, Lord, thank you for this. Give thanks in everything. Sometimes I get cluttered up with stuff, and y'all probably know how it is. You seem to never have enough room. And I'm afraid to build bigger because I'm thinking about the guy with the silo that laid up all his goods, and the Lord said, be ready, I'm getting ready to take you on out of here. But I thank the Lord each and every day that I have things to work with. I thank the Lord for what he's blessed me with. When I start to complain about something, I try to turn it around and say, Lord, no, it's not a complaint. Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for what you blessed us with. Just everything that you think might be a hindrance, think of it as kind of a blessing. I know even things, times when I get hung up in traffic or something goes wrong and you start running late, look at it from God's side. Maybe he's keeping you from getting in a wreck or something. And I'll just say, Lord, thank you for just doing what you're doing through the day, because we should give it all over to him to begin with it first, the first part of the day. Lord, you just take today and have your will be done with it. But in everything, give thanks. I think you see where I'm going with this. It gets our head in the right spot. That constant communication, so outside influences and sin doesn't get a hold of us and draw us away from God. These things, and I'm not talking about brainwashing us, okay, but because we know that if you're saved here, I hope you know you've got God's Spirit inside of you. With that, he wants to help us each and every day. He allows us to do things. Don't take things for granted. Forever pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. With a lot of things, I won't say everything, but with a lot of things, I think as many of you probably are, you're skeptical about things. You hear things and you wonder, well, if that's the truth or not. You know, I don't know if that's to be proven. The Bible tells us to prove all things, even things that are taught. It's good to go back and prove these things through the Word of God, okay? Everything that we hear out in the world, even things in Sunday school, even things in church, it's good to go back and prove these things for yourself in God's Word. Number one, you're reading God's Word to get our head in the right place. But also, when you do this, when you prove all things, it gives us a better understanding of God's Word. When you get in God's Word and start digging and start looking and start studying, and I mean, I'm deep dive kind of thing, study. I mean, looking up meanings of words and looking for different references in the Bible, how things apply here, what are they talking about, what time setting is this in the Bible. I mean, really get in there and prove things. It gets our head in the right spot. We're looking from God's Word, we're gleaning from God's Word, but we're also now, and get this is important, whenever we're asked about things, we've got a better understanding and we're more comfortable talking about it to those who might not have a knowledge of God, those that might be lost, those that are saved but are struggling.
so that we can help others. That's what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to esteem the brethren and help them, uplift them through God's word. So I hope you see where this is kind of getting at, to get our head in the right spot, to not be influenced by the outside influencers. And in verse 22 there in 1 Thessalonians, it says, after it says prove all things, it said hold fast that which is good. Hang on to it. Contend for the faith. And abstain from the appearance of evil. I like that because it doesn't mean that we should fall into the way the world looks. I like that part because it just, Christians, we should stand out. People should see something different in us. Not just the way that we dress, but by the way we carry ourselves, by the way that we talk, but with our attitudes, with the joy that we have for the Lord. These things will help us to contend for the faith. I just had written down, think about the Lord with everything we do say, our attitudes each and every day. Ask the Lord for help in all things. Confess our slips and stumbles along life's way. That's how we contend for the faith. Paul said it like this, and I thought this is a kind of an interesting verse. He said a phrase that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That means that after you're saved, trying to figure out what God's will is for your life, it takes a certain type of self-discipline. With that, work out your own salvation. We do the best that we can. When we slip, we confess our sins, ask for forgiveness, get in God's word, pray without ceasing, talking to him, constant communication, to find out what his will is for us. That's what Paul says means by working out your own salvation. It's your personal relationship with the Heavenly Father for him to guide and direct us each and every day. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say to these people? What job am I supposed to have? What friends am I supposed to have? Lord, lead me to the husband or wife you would have me to have, or boyfriend or girlfriend you would have me to have. That's what Paul says by work out your own salvation. It's personal between you and our Heavenly Father. Contend for the faith. Then, as we wrap this up for today, sorry, I'm not going to get you out of here too early. We've got our instructions for making a change. Jude wrote this letter to Christians to encourage them to earnestly contend for the faith, to stay strong, to be able to, and by that, what I mean by being strong, being grounded in his word, the things that I had mentioned before, it allows us to do what comes up at the end of the chapter in Jude. Our instructions for making a change. Because I believe if we do the things that I just said, then people are going to see a difference in us. People are going to want to, they're going to be curious about our lives. They're going to be curious about our faith. And they're going to be curious about how to get the help that we get each and every day from Jesus Christ. He tells us at the end of our verse, or our chapter in Jude, our instructions for making a change. But beloved, he says, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And it goes on and it says, and some have compassion, making a difference. Church, I see two types of people here. We've got one that makes a difference with compassion, and in verse 23, those that save with fear. Okay? There's a time for each one when we're dealing with brethren, sisters, maybe that have fallen from the faith, that have maybe stumbled and maybe are dwelling in sin, and of course those that are lost. We have some that have compassion making a difference, and others save with fear. Now, I've heard some people
that would testify and witness with fear to those that have needed compassion, and it's just totally turned them off, okay? There's a time for each, all right? There's a time for compassion, and there's a time for just straight up, here's what the Word of God says, this is why we do it, this is why you don't need to be doing it, okay? Or, let me rephrase that. This is why we do the things that we do to please God, and this is what God says against what you're talking to me about. There are times when we need to show that love of Christ to people. There are times when we get sad, when we get weakened, okay? We're not strong in spirit, we're weakened in spirit. And church, if you cannot save, if you cannot testify and help with fear and with scripture, you can help with compassion, okay? We need compassionate people, church. Everybody has got a place in God's work, okay? Not everybody is going to be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. Some just need to have compassion for those. And I'm thankful for those that I know within the church that just say, you know, pray for this person. They're going through a hard time. I'm trying to encourage them and lift them up. We need those people, okay? Those make a difference. And especially for the lost, there's going to be a lot of souls saved just through compassion. Because that's what Christ had for us, was just compassion. He just died on the cross for us because we're weak in our flesh and the sinful nature that we're created with. But we need those that have compassion because they're going to make a difference. But we also, as it's written, we need to also have those that save with fear. And it says, even pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There are those that try to so hard. I mean, just, you know, you've talked to them before. And it's just scripture, 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 scripture that comes out of their mouth. That's a wonderful thing. I'm thankful for those that can just give scripture for everything. Some people need that. Some people need just the straight up word of God. What does the Bible say about this? What does God say about this? We need people like that, that have that knowledge. You're only going to have that by studying God's word. And a lot of you have that gift, that talent that's God give you, that God's give you. And God's given us each different talents. That's why I say it's so important. If you just have compassion, go with it, okay? If that's what God's give you for other people, go with that. If God's give you the straight-up word that you can help people with, we can use that as well. They're both important. They're both needed. They're both needed so that we can see the lost saved, but also that we can pull some out of the fire that have slipped and have fallen into sin. That's what the Bible talks about whenever it mentions that in here. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, whenever you see somebody that is going astray, somebody that is going down the wrong road, you can just give them scripture and just tell them, you need not do this. This is why. We need that. But church, it's wonderful to have these that have compassion. Can show some people the error of their ways through compassion. We need this. We need compassion as much as those that can save with fear. But church, as we wrap this up today, as Jude mentioned, earnestly contend for the faith. Our minds are being pulled so many different ways nowadays. We're seeing so much going on out in the world. It's easy to try to cross your mind. Is it acceptable now? Okay? Contend for the faith. Contend for the faith. That's what's going to be right. It's just contending for the faith. I encourage each and every one of us. I always say it. As it was written in 1 Thessalonians, pray more. Communicate with God more throughout your day. do things that are pleasing unto Him. Do our best to. Like I said, I know we're going to slip. We're going to stumble. And if you're like me, sometimes pride slips in and you just want to say, I did it myself. But we should give God the glory in all things and talk to Him as only a Christian would each and every day. Offer up that communication. But church, earnestly contend for that faith each and every day, and don't let it slip. Father, we sure do love You. Lord, we just thank You for the day that You've given us today. Father, I thank You for the help that You've given today. We do want to continue to pray for the Cornett family, Lord, that You just touch them. And Father, we just want to ask that You would just, Lord, take Your word and help us. Lord, strengthen us as Christians. Father, as we wrestle against the flesh, Father, I pray that You help us to wrestle for the faith and for the things of Yours. Lord, not let the world interfere. But Father, we just want to say we sure do love You, and we thank You for all Your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, if you come to your feet for a moment. I'm not going to have the musicians come up or anything. I just want us to have